Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are here at the People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets in Metairie. It is Medicare Enrollment Day. I'm going to be here for another hour, and then Newell comes in, and then Scoot comes in and take it to 4 o'clock. The goal, make your life easy. If you need to make a decision about Medicare, and if you're aging into Medicare, you do need to make a decision one way or the other for yourself or someone you love. Come on out and see us. Medicare experts will be on hand to help you make an informed decision. People's Health experts are going to host educational seminars coming up at 10 o'clock and another one at 1. We got coffee and donuts in the morning from Joe's Cafe and Donuts. We got World War II tickets. We got Oktoberfest tickets while supplies last. And you can take the confusion out of your Medicare decision. Newell and Scoot coming up after me. Medicare Enrollment Day today, through 4 o'clock at People's Health Medicare Center on Vets near Causeway. And right here on WWL, we've met some nice people already. Some people have gotten some great advice already, and you got plenty of time to take advantage of that. With that, we welcome in Matthew Willard, newly elected New Orleans City Council member at large. How you doing, Matthew?
Good morning, Tommy. Thank you for having me on.
Congratulations on the victory.
Thank you, thank you. Exciting day for the city of New Orleans. I'm optimistic about our city's future. Certainly have some tough roads ahead, is, you know, looking at this budget deficit, but I think we have a good leadership team in place, and I look forward to working with my new colleagues.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about this whole budget thing, and I know you don't have a hand in it now, but I'm trying to get a handle on, you know, the fact that Mayor-elect Moreno is going to be sworn in January, and the fact that this is Mayor Cantrell's budget, and I understand the legalities of this, but it would seem to me the fact that you have the mayor-elect on a council now and a council person at large, and the majority of the council wants to do the right thing and deal with the budget in an appropriate way and in a responsible way. It would seem as though politically, I don't know if I'm getting into legal trouble here, but politically it would make every bit of sense, hang on a second now, to shade this budget in a way that Mayor Moreno would like to see it shaped, and Mayor-elect Moreno would like to see it shaped, because she's going to have to deal with it, as will the future council. And along those lines, as I understand the process, if the council passes a budget, say, that would be Mayor Moreno friendly, let's put it that way, okay? Mm-hmm. Not to favor her or anything, but in a way that would make it easier for her to govern, well, then if the mayor refused to sign it, then legally the council could, if they had the votes, override it. Is that right? And then pass the budget that they would see fit?
Yes, that's absolutely
Do I got that right?
Yes, you have. Okay. You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly how it will work. I'm hopeful that the outgoing mayor and her team can work well with the council to put forward a responsible budget that protects and prioritizes the essentials in the city right now.
In what universe do you think that's going to happen?
Look, Tommy, I really am optimistic. And the thing we can't forget is that the majority of those council members are coming back. So if a non-responsible budget is passed, we'll still have to deal with it next year. So
no, I'm talking about the mayor is what I'm talking about, that the mayor is going to, the current mayor is going to go along with this. Come on, Matthew.
What? you know, let's go out on a good foot, you know, and put forward. It's tough decisions regardless, Tommy. I mean, you're going to have to make
because
cuts.
You're going to have to deal with this, Matthew. The reason I
Correct.
Bring it up is that you're going to have to deal with this, and the new council is going to have to deal with this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, just optimistic because either way you have to make those cuts, and that's never an easy situation. And so when you make those cuts, you try to do the least amount of harm, and you still try to protect the essential services that need funding to make sure that the city of New Orleans can continue to operate. Now, when you're looking at $100 million, possibly $200 million in cuts, it's going to hurt regardless of where it comes from. And so I'm hoping that everybody can sit down after the testimony from the various departments and put forward the best budget that you can in light of a $100 to $200 million deficit.
Now, you don't have a say in this now, but what would you
Correct.
Like to see done?
Well, for just what we were talking about.
You do have some opinions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the city services need to be protected to the best extent possible. We need to have funding in there for road crews to do pothole repairs and replace street lights, and you still have to make payroll. I know Mayor-elect Moreno was talking about potentially eliminating some positions, and that's probably feasible. That's probably something that you can do if you do it in a calculated way to where the harm isn't felt that great. It's one of those situations where you really have to get under the hood and analyze everything carefully and say, do we get the bang for our buck here? And if we don't, is this somewhere where we want to cut or reallocate source funding or even merge kind of responsibilities? And so you really have to be strategic and kind of go in there with a scalpel when you're trying to cut that much money out of a budget.
But I'm getting texts here that are saying, wait a minute, streetlights aren't being repaired now, streets aren't being fixed now. Where
Correct.
Is the low-hanging fruit, and how do you make the cuts without affecting those things, and what would you cut?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is there's funding in those areas. Whether the work gets performed or not, there's funding in those areas, and I think a lot of it goes to leadership and project management. And I think everybody, to some extent, understands that a lot of the work in City Hall is kind of checked out right now and just not being done, even when it gets funded. And so just because it's not being done right now doesn't mean necessarily that you can pull the funding away from it, because it's, obviously if it doesn't have the money, even with a new mayor and a new council coming in, it certainly cannot be done.
So what? First of all, what made you decide to run for city council?
Because of these issues, Tommy. You know, I've been in the state legislature for 6 years. I feel like I've done a pretty good job. I've prioritized things that are important, like inaccurate sewage and water board bills and unaffordable homeowners insurance. And I just feel like we need leadership in City Hall that are going to focus on those basics and kind of right-size the ship right now, because we're a bit underwater. And so we do need people. I wish I was on the council right now to weigh in on some of these budget decisions, but we need people in there who can make these tough decisions, but also explain it to the city, right? I mean, I think something that's been missing the last few years is just that explanation, somebody going out into the community and explaining how decisions made by the administration and the city council actually impact the people in the city of New Orleans. And so that's
That's what I'm trying to ask you now, Matthew. I think we're having the same conversation, maybe in a little bit of a different way. So when you were campaigning, what did you hear from the people as you were running, their concerns about the city?
I'm sure it aligns with the text messages that you've been receiving, but it goes to the streetlights. You know, my streetlight's been out for over a year. Why is it still out? You know, my street is in disrepair. We were supposed to have our street repaired with the Katrina money, but it never got touched. My Nord facility doesn't have a functioning bathroom. Why are there not many job opportunities for my kid when they graduate from college? You know, it's a lot of you know, as Joe DeRusso calls it, the blocking and tackling, the stuff that you take for granted when you go to another city. Why do we appropriate money to clean catch basins, but the catch basins don't get cleaned? You know, those really were the big issues. It was infrastructure, it was city services, it was jobs, and then probably behind that, it was public safety.
When it comes to priorities, what would your top three priorities be? What are the three things that have your attention, or maybe more than three?
So one of the first ones that we have to tackle is the Department of Safety and Permits. It's been an obstacle to doing business in the city of New Orleans, and it's affecting us on the revenue side, and it's affecting us on the safety side. And you're also not getting, you know, all the contractors who would typically bid for projects in the city of New Orleans because they don't want to deal with safety and permits. So that's one of the biggest things that need to be addressed sort of first. Beyond that, I think it goes to the city services aspect of it. When you have a street light out, Tommy, you call and report it to 311, but then nothing happens, right? And so you have to report it to 311 several times, and then you have to get somebody from the council attention to get, you know, get the street light addressed if you're lucky. And it shouldn't be that way, and it certainly does not have to be that way. A lot of that is going to tie into who Mayor-elect Moreno picks to lead her department, and sort of the changeover plan that they lay out before the council when they go through those confirmation hearings. But for me, when the money is there, the city services should be provided to the people in the city of New Orleans. It should not be like pulling teeth to have quality of life issues addressed in your neighborhoods. Safety and permits is certainly something very big that has to be addressed. So those are probably the two biggest ones that I think that the next council and the next mayor need to address within the first month or so of taking over.
I think what I'm hearing and what we're saying is it should work. It's not working. Maybe there is money there, but it's not being used right, or it's not being spent. So when we come back, we'll talk about how you turn that around, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
And I think part of it is cooperation between the mayor and the council. And I, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people, and a lot of people are very optimistic, Matthew, about the new mayor, about the council coming in. Not that the council is fully set yet, but that they think that this is going to bring in a period of cooperation between the council and the mayor and some common sense, and things are going to get done. We'll talk about that when we come back. We're talking to Matthew Willard, council member at large elect, 921. We're at People's Health, 3017 Vets in Metairie. Come on out, see us. Get ready for Medicare. Today is the first day of open enrollment. We'll be back on WWL. Matthew Willard is our guest, New Orleans City Council member-elect. Matthew, you ought to come on over, because I know you're close to Medicare age, are you not?
A couple years short, Tommy, a couple years.
A little bit. No, but I was telling you before, and I'm being serious about this now, because a lot of people are very optimistic about a new start, and the council and the mayor getting along and being on the same page and having the same goal of just delivering services and doing what government's supposed to do. How optimistic are you that this is going to happen?
I'm very optimistic, Tommy. I talked about it during the campaign. You know, I think we immediately improve overnight once the new mayor and the new council get sworn in, because you get to start on a fresh footing. I have a really good relationship with Mayor-elect Moreno. I have good relationships with the council members who are returning. And the problems are so vast. I'm very optimistic that we'll be able to work together to start to tackle some of these challenges for the people in the city of New Orleans.
How optimistic should people be? I mean, is it realistic to think that this is going to turn around? And does it go to the mindset of the employees at City Hall, or do the employees at City Hall, for the most part, want to do the right thing, but they've kind of been between a squat and a stand?
Well, I think the people in the city of New Orleans are our greatest asset, and I think a lot of the issues in City Hall can be stemmed from the culture, And I believe that business and organizational culture starts from the top. So when you get new energy coming in, I think everybody's a little bit excited and optimistic, you know? And so I do think there'll be new energy, new passion inside of City Hall. And that's part of the job of the new mayor and the new council, to sort of inspire them to work on behalf of the people in the city.
Do you attack this like 90 days at a time, or how do you do this?
You have to do both. You have to have sort of a three-month, 90-day plan as soon as you come in. But we also, one thing I think that's been missing from City Hall is kind of strategic long-term planning. You know, even looking at the budget, Tommy, I mean, we should be looking at 3 to 5 year budget forecast every time we go into the annual budgeting process. But also other issues like infrastructure, right? We know that our infrastructure is over a century old as it relates to drainage and sewage and water board. We need a comprehensive plan on how we're going to overhaul that and how long that'll take and how much money it'll take to do that, as well as the street works. You know, over the last few years, we've invested tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, into our streets. What's the plan to properly maintain them? What's the plan to address the other streets that we didn't get to touch, right? And so while you have to have a short-term plan, we also have to do some long-term planning for the city of New Orleans as well.
But if you could do that, you got to have money coming in, right?
You definitely have to have money coming in, but I also think when you do long-term planning and you can put out a comprehensive, you know, pathway forward and assign budget, you know, dollar values to it, it makes it easier when you're trying to go to the state government or the federal government and ask for help. You know, we look like we did our homework. We look like we came to do business. And I think that'll speak volumes about the leadership if we can actually go to our federal partners and our state partners with a plan that's actually been thought through.
I guess, you know, I'm thinking about the sewage and water board and it being a fragile system and how old it is. It would cost a tremendous amount of money to redo
it. Mm-hmm.
So barring the federal government, how big can the city?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get how much can the city grow? Where are those dollars going to come from, I guess, is my question.
Well, I think that's what's tackled in the plan, right? We have to know what the most urgent issues are that need to be addressed. When the new substation that's uptown comes online, that's going to help with a lot of the outages and the boil water advisory. But we also know that some of the infrastructure is kind of sticking together with, you know, duct tape and chewing gum. So regardless of how long you wait to actually start to address it, it will have to be redone and repaired or even replaced. And so the earlier you start that planning, the better off you're going to be. And so my point is, at some point, Tommy, you have to stop kicking the can and you have to say, you know, this is the reality and this is why we need help. And I think, you know, the sooner we can put a plan together with the actual funding request, I'm not saying we'll be able to go to Washington, D.C. and walk away with $3 billion to redo, you know, our drainage infrastructure. But if we have a comprehensive plan and the first phase of that plan requires, you know, $200 million, that's a more palatable ask. Or even if you only get a portion of that first phase, that's a more palatable ask. I guess what I'm trying to get us away from is saying, hey, we need $50 million for this. And then, you know, a few years later, we need $30 million for this, to where it looks like it's done in a piecemeal fashion, as opposed to a comprehensive plan that's done over a period of years and that's broken out by dollar value.
All right, October 15th, 2026, I'm talking to you, and I'm saying, Matthew, it's been 10 months now. What are you most proud of? What would you like to at least realistically have accomplished by then?
I would like to improve communication in City Hall with the departments, with the administration, and I'm talking about across departments, across the administration, across the City Council. I think 10 months is long enough to reform safety and permits to where they're no longer an obstacle to doing business in the city of New Orleans. And I think that we should see tremendous improvement with the way city services are handled in the city of New Orleans. And I think all of that is you know, we should be able to do within a 10-month period, as well as, you know, coming up with a responsible budget in light of the $200 million deficit, to where we can still get things done in the city of New Orleans.
I don't know how it went so bad last time, but do you see anything that could possibly derail a relationship between the council and the mayor now?
You're talking the mayor about elect. the incoming council.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Tommy, there's always going to be issues that can derail a relationship. I guess my hope would be that if something like that does occur, that it would just be temporary and short-lived, right? Because at the end of the day, we all decided to run for office to help the people in the city of New Orleans. And there are a lot of ways the people of the city of New Orleans need help right now. And so if there are issues that can, you know, kind of sour a relationship, my hope would be that it would just be short-lived.
Thank you, Matthew. Any final thoughts?
No, look, I'm grateful. Thank you to the people of the city of New Orleans for entrusting me with your support. I'm excited to get to work on behalf of all of you. And hopefully the next time I come on, Tommy, we can talk about some of the positive things happening in the city.
I hope so, man. You always got an open invitation. You know that. Matthew Willard, New Orleans City Council member elect. We're live at the People's Health Medicare Center, 3017 Vets in Metairie. Newell's coming up next. He's already on location. We're going to talk to Clancy Dubose when we come back. 9:36, Traffic Now, WWL. All right, 9:43, 17 till 10. We're live at the People's Health Medicare Center. Newell's coming up next, and then Scoot will be here all day long. It's the first day of open enrollment, and they got a free seminar coming up at 10 o'clock. You don't need an appointment. Come on in. They'll be glad to tell you everything you need to know about Medicare. Clancy Dubose joins us now, WWL Louisiana political analyst. Great job, Clancy, on Saturday night. I watched you in between the LSU game on Channel 4. Nice job.
Thank you, Tommy. I think the election was more exciting than the LSU game, but I'm glad the Tigers won. My wife and my younger son are both LSU grads, and I think you and I both went to LSUNO at one point.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
UNO, LSU,
I went to UNO, whatever it's going to wind up. Noel Norman sitting right across from me also went to UNO. Hey, let me ask you this, Clancy. I'm no Clancy Dubose, and certainly I'm no Noel Norman, but when it comes to this budget thing with the city, and I know you got legal and political here that are not necessarily on the same page, but it would seem to me, okay, LaTori Cantrell made out her budget, right? This is what I want. But it would also seem to me that you got the mayor-elect on a council at large, and you got a lot of the council returning. So it would seem to me, I don't know if this is legal or not, but the common sense thing would be, okay, LaTori, yeah, that's great, but you're not going to be here. This is what we need to deal with. So this is the budget that we're going to craft. And maybe officially or unofficially, we get Mayor-elect Moreno's input into this and also the council's, and then we'll send it back to you. But if you don't like it, you don't sign it, and then the council can override it. Am I making stuff up in my head here or not?
No, you're pretty much.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Forecasting what's going to happen. There's the law, there's politics, and then there's reality. And the intersection of those is the reality. That is exactly what's going to happen. Helena will have, let me back up a minute. Even if this were not, we were not on the cusp of a change in administration, if this were 2 years mm-hmm. ago, Dutch Morial used to have a saying, the man proposes and the Lord disposes, you know, like best laid plans of mice and men often go awry mm-hmm. or astray. But
did Dutch mayor say that?
Not the best laid plans, but he said, man proposes and the Lord disposes. And he was talking about the budget. He says, I submit the budget, right. But the council holds the purse strings and they can tweak and adopt and whatever they do. That's it. I mean, the mayor can. I don't remember if the mayor has a line item veto. I know the governor does. But anyway. Mm-hmm. But the mayor can veto the budget and the council can override it. And this council will pass the budget that Helena Moreno feels most comfortable with. I'll put it that way. Not
that
she's going to dictate
it. That's what I thought.
But we are going to see a level of cooperation that we haven't seen for 8 years. I mean, when Mitch Landrieu was mayor, the council had a whole lot of 7-0 votes. He had a very good relationship with his council and his council because that's the council he had to work with, and he had a very good relationship with them, and they respected him and trusted him, and it was, and the city got moving, you know, we got to remember where we were 16 years ago. Everything had come to a halt for 4 years after Katrina, 5 years after Katrina, and so, you know, we needed a council and a mayor to work together, and that's what we need now. And I'm telling you right now, I don't like to make predictions, but this is the safest prediction. They're saying the sun's going to rise in the east tomorrow. This new council is going to work very well with the mayor and vice versa, the new mayor.
And along those lines, I was asking Matthew Willard just now, looking ahead, do you see anything that would derail any of this?
When you say any of this, you mean the budget or just the relationship between the mayor and the council?
Well, just the relationship between the mayor and the council, because it seems like...
I don't foresee anything, but, you know, stuff can always happen. But, you know, mm-hmm. I think that you've got, when people are of are well-intentioned and have and put the city first, it's easier than in other times. Where, for the mayor and the council or the executive and the legislative to get together and do the right thing. And I think we have a council that comes in. Everybody knows it's a crisis, and in a crisis, people band together. Look, during the COVID epidemic, the council and the mayor stood together, you know, and we have a crisis in terms of the city and the well-being of the citizens and the quality of life here. This is as big a crisis as COVID. It's just not national. It's intensely local.
What I find, I don't know if it's ironic or what the phrase would be, although they got this big deficit looming, I find more people optimistic about the city more than have been in a long, 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 long time. You?
Yes, I believe that's true. But I think the reality of the kind of cuts that may be required hasn't sunk in yet. They're focusing on the election and not on the budget. When the reality of the budget sinks in, it could give Helena Moreno a fairly short honeymoon, but I think people are going to trust her. That's the reason she got elected. People know her and they trust mm-hmm. her. And when she and the council work together on this and they adopt an austerity budget, whatever it may be, there are going to be some cuts or possibly some taxes, which might, I would think if they pass any kind of tax, it would be temporary to get us out of this hole. Mm-hmm. And, you know, an emergency type, revenue measure, And that's the time to do it, right out the box, and then get it done, and then try to undo it as things get better, and you know, see what they can do to keep the city functioning and get the city functioning and keep it functioning.
And tell me again where this hole came from. This was overspending, under revenue, underestimating revenue.
The biggest reason for the hole in this budget is overtime spending. And the mayor's saying, oh, it's all about the terrorist attack on January 1. No, it's not all about that. It's that and consultants, outside consultants. Those two things account for millions and millions of dollars. And frankly, the administration, which sees the spending day to day, either took its eye off the ball or didn't release that information in time for the council to do something mid-year. But, you know, the terrorist attack happened on January 1. So why did we not hear about this budget crisis until September, early October? Why is that? Why did it take 9 months for the administration to say, "Oh yeah, we got a budget problem. We got a deficit of, and it's more than $100 million." That's what my
when it comes to. Okay, when it comes to the honeymoon, if you will, with Helena Moreno. The public has realized that this is a mess she's inheriting, right?
Yes, you think? Yes, absolutely. The current mayor is leaving the new administration and the council in the biggest hole I think that any mayor has ever left a successor in, because it's recurring. We have over $100 million deficit this year. Okay, we have 2.5 months to dig out of it, to save over $100 million. I mean, think about that. And for the mayor to wait till October to tell people, or late September, that is absolutely ridiculous. It's misfeasance, if not malfeasance.
But they did know about it in February a little bit, right? The council did?
In February? I don't think so.
Yeah, I thought J.P. Morrell told me that. No.
Well, he might have. He might have said it could happen, but I don't think he predicted a $100 million deficit back in February, because if he had, he would have done something about it.
I got you. I'm just trying to get a handle on it. I know they went from something, the number went from 40 to 100 to 30. I don't know. Real quick, when it comes to Helena Moreno and the support that she got from around the city, are you surprised by any of it?
Not really. You know, the voters of New Orleans know her. They trust her. And what they like about her is the fact that she stays calm in the middle of a storm, so to speak. She doesn't, you know, react in a very emotional way the current mayor does, and get angry and curse people out. She works well with people that she disagrees with. And the mayor we have can't even work well with people that she agrees with. So it's a complete change in tone and style and substance. So that's what they voted for.
Tell me how you said that. You said they got politics, they got reality,
politics,
and what did you say?
They got politics and law, and their intersection of those two is reality. If you look at it on a Venn diagram,
that's what we're dealing with. Thank you, Clancy.
Okay,
appreciate
man.
It, man. Take it easy. Pleasure as always. Clancy Dubose, WWL Louisiana political analyst. We'll talk to Newell Norman when we come back. We're live at the People's Health Medicare Center, 953, 7 till 10 on WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.